Deeds, rights, and restrictions. A deed is not really title to real property. It is merely the conveyance of title to real property. And once the deed has done its job, the deed is done. You may lose your property without really meaning to. Let's talk about the various ways in which one may lose property. If someone uses your property openly, continuously, notoriously, exclusively, and hostilely, they may be able to gain ownership by adverse possession. How many years do they have to do this? 15. What is it called when one person uses the adjacent property and then that person conveys their property to another and the second person also uses the adjacent property? That's called tacking on. Is that legal? Absolutely. Perfectly legal. The nickname for adverse possession is squatter's rights, but the true name is adverse possession. The government's right to take privately held property for public purpose is called eminent domain. The process is condemnation, and no private property is exempt from that right, and the owner must be given just compensation. The rule of law where if you don't use it, you lose it, that bank account that you failed to put any activity on for the past 3 years, is that it escheats to the state. In other words, the state's cheating you out of your money. No, they're putting in the state's lost and found. You can always go get it. They leave it there for you to claim. You go to the Michigan Department of Treasury. Another example of losing your property without really meaning to is when I give you a deed that's defeasible fee that says the property must always be used for a particular purpose or may never be used for a prohibited purpose, and that is an action called forfeiture. If you die and you have a will, you are said to be what? Testate. If you die and you don't have a will, you are intestate. If you die testate, in other words, you have a will, your property is said to go to your heirs by devise. If you don't have a will, the property goes to your heirs by descent, or it could be called by the state's order of intestate succession. Let's talk about real or personal property. Would I be talking about real property if I said a crop? Nope, that's personal. A tree, that's real. A window air conditioner, personal. A pile of lumber, personal. An antique chandelier, real, that will run with the land. All things tangible and intangible, good, bad, and indifferent, that run with the land are referred to as appurtenances. In life, some things are good and some things are bad. Examples of good appurtenances would be something that used to be personal property, but now because of the manner in which it is affixed to the real estate will run with the land. That's called a fixture. And I'm going to have one basic heading that I'm going to head up the file folder of all bad appurtenances that you acquire when you acquire ownership of the property. It's those things that tie you up or lessen your control on the property, or in some fashion are said to encumber you, and that word is encumbrance. Examples of encumbrance would be the tree branch that belongs to the neighbor that's over on your property. It is said to be doing what? It is encroaching. Something that doesn't belong to you that's coming over onto your property is said to be encroaching. Another example of an encumbrance is a lien. There are four basic liens. Ordinarily, liens take precedent based on the order in which they are recorded. There are two exceptions. Which lien will always be superior no matter what? Property tax liens. And which lien is backdated to when the work began? Construction or mechanics liens. The two other that we had was one in which a lawsuit makes an award, that's called a judgment lien, And finally, we have the one where one pledges property as collateral for a debt. That's called a mortgage lien. How long can you go without paying your property taxes before you'll lose your property? 2 years. And is there a redemption period after? No. It's done. That extinguishes all liens of record. Let's talk about the 7 elements of a valid deed. Remember the deed that we had up on the board? My name, I was the what? Grantor. Do hereby, that was the words of conveyance. And then Zach was the grantee. Love and affection was the consideration. Lot 43 was the description. Then I put my name on the bottom, that was the signature. And the final really important step was delivery and acceptance. Delivery means that the grantor actually gives the grantee the deed or the knowledge that it exists. Acceptance means they actually get it or gain knowledge that it exists and doesn't object to it. Those 7 elements do not make the deed be in recorded form. It's valid without recording, but there's other stuff you need to do to make it be in recorded form. Size is important. No smaller than letter, no larger than legal. The ink must be black. The margins need to be uniform. And then you have to have it signed in front of what type of individual? A notary. The notary acknowledges the signature. On the big test, they could say acknowledge, they could say notarize. Either term would be acceptable. Now, just because a deed has been created doesn't mean it's the very best there is. Which deed is the very best there is? A warranty deed, also called a general warranty deed. It contains all 5 promises or covenants. That's the one that you probably want. The other type of deed that you usually get when it's bank-owned property is where they're only promising that they have not encumbered it and that they have the right to sell it. That one is special. And there are other names that they may call it. Deed C, covenant deed, bargain and sale deed. And the one where I get rid of any claim I have on the property with no promise whatsoever was a quit claim deed. There are 2 types of title insurance policies that get done in connection with the conveyance of property. One is one in which the seller ordinarily pays for it, which names the buyer as beneficiary and indemnifies them against loss. That's called an owner's title policy. The second one is the one the buyer normally pays for, which names the bank as beneficiary and indemnifies them against loss. That's called the mortgage title policy. Is an easement title or possession? No, it's merely the right of use, and the most common of all uses is for ingress and egress. The type of easement which has 2 properties side by side, one benefiting the other, usually for the purpose of ingress and egress, is an easement appurtenant. They're stuck next to each other, they're appurtenant to each other. And the estate that has the use of the easement, the one doing the stomping, is the dominant estate. The one getting stomped on is the servient estate. And in either one of the cases, the easement will run with the land. The type of easement where there is no dominant estate, just the servient, just the gas line cutting across the back of the property, was an easement in gross. And easements may be affirmative or they may be negative, such as nothing can be built to block one's view of the lake. And there are different ways to create or terminate an easement. The type of easement that our hermit created when he sold the property to the department store and reserved the right to cut across that property was an easement by reservation. The type that was granted to the gas company was an easement by express grant. And there's 3 ways to get rid of an easement. What's the fancy term for when the dominant buys the servient and puts them back together? Merger. And also, if you no longer need it and you don't use it. That's called abandonment accompanied by end of necessity. Or the two parties get together and just say, let's get rid of it. That's a termination by agreement. If I sell you a piece of property and I put a deed restriction on there that the house must always be painted pink, if you decide you don't like that color, can you paint it blue? Well, if you do, I can come along and say, I'm going to take that back. You have violated the deed restriction I put in the deed. And it could even be as silly as that type of a deed restriction. Somebody could come up with that type of thing. In addition to a restriction on an individual piece of property, a developer may place a restriction on the entire subdivision. And if you violate one of those restrictive covenants in the subdivision, true or false, they could call the police department on you. No, the police department doesn't care. They can begin an action against you to make you not break the rules. Sometimes these subdivisions have created their own form of government. They have a homeowners association and they pass rules. And the one my father lives in actually has a police department and they write tickets for speeding. How about that? When an existing use does not conform to a new zoning law, the nickname for what happens is that it's grandfathered in. What actually happens is that it's called non-conforming, permitted to continue, regardless of change of ownership, so long as it stays in continued use. And each municipality will define continued use as how long it could be not in that use and still be considered continued use.